Well, hello everybody out there in Music Video Land, and welcome to another edition of the Music Video Land podcast. This week in Music Video is brought to you by your super good friends at imvdb.com, the internet or intranet. Maybe if you're running IMVDB on your local company intranet, the intranet or internet music video database. My name is Adam of the IMVDB. This is going very well. And then with me, as usual, is Mr. Pink Eye himself, from Manhattan, New York, Doug Klinger. Doug, how are you?
Doing super good, Adam, but I still love you.
Thank you.
Yeah, totally. You called out the fact that I knew somebody with pink eye this week.
Yeah, you met somebody with pink eye.
Yeah, I met somebody and then they gave it to me.
Yeah, you did the secret handshake where you rub each other's eyes with your hands and rub your eyes, which is a terrible secret handshake.
Yeah, it's like a really bad uncalled for secret handshake, but me and my secret friend, we do it.
And then joining us as usual from north of the rot wall of Fringe Music Fix fame, Mr. just woke up from a nap, Adam Alexander. Adam, how are you?
I'm good. I did just wake up from a nap. After a long day of crunching numbers, I'm ready to talk about what I really love, and that's music videos.
What kind of what kind of numbers were these? Were these financial numbers?
Yeah, these were financial numbers and numbers that keep my company afloat. I was crunching them.
That's good. Well, you got to crunch
them. What company? Fringe Music Fix?
No, not Fringe Music Fix. There's no numbers for Fringe Music Fix.
I don't like numbers in general, especially when they relate to websites. I'd rather just have the bits, the ones and zeros, which I suppose numbers, if we're talking some, you know, like technical.
Yeah, one and zero are numbers.
That's true, yeah. But I'm talking just about the data, the video data.
And the pink eye.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about pink eye and videos, which is, but we have a theme for this week's show.
Ooh, we got a theme.
That's right, because Doug, you know, usually puts together a watch list. No secret.
No secret.
Doug, you know, talks about, puts together a little video list. He says, hey, everybody, peep these videos. These are the ones that we're going to talk about. And we noticed this list, once we left off Justin Bieber's video, which shall remain nameless, it's all ladies in the director chair.
Which shouldn't be a thing that takes effort to put together.
Yeah.
Let's just say that ladies take up 50% of the world, more than, and therefore there should be more lady music video directors than men. But there aren't. But this week there are, significantly more.
Yeah.
In fact, for this podcast, 5-0.
That's right, which doesn't happen a lot. I mean, it's interesting. You know, we usually like notice a pattern of the week, and we don't really, you know, usually talk about it that much except in passing. But this is one of those pattern weeks of a lot of female directors releasing really fantastic music videos. And there was actually an article, I don't know if you guys saw this, on
in Variety.
I saw it in Vulture. Are you talking about
Vulture? Same.
Yeah, same V. They're merged.
Same letter V.
And it is 100 women directors Hollywood should be tiring.
Only one music video director on that list. Two.
Gia Coppola is on there.
Yeah, Gia Coppola, who directed a video we're talking about this week.
Yeah.
But also Fiora Sigsmundi, who is also on this week's list.
And Sanaa Hamri, who I don't know if she's directed a lot of music videos lately. I think she moved more into features. She directed the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants 2, and Just Right. But she directed, you guys know this, like she directed Super Bass by Nicki Minaj, and a bunch of other videos from like that I would, and she has a longer career than that in music videos. But
who is Nicki Minaj?
Okay, we're gonna have to go back, we're gonna have to backtrack a little bit. Do you remember Nicki Minaj, Jandakana?
Yes, okay, wait, yes.
Bedrock, remember that video, Bedrock?
Yeah.
Actually, this weekend on Saturday Night Live, her and someone else I didn't know, The Weeknd, did a song together.
Never heard of The Weeknd.
That's a joke that I didn't know who The Weeknd was, but now I know who he is now, and I know.
We've never made that joke on this podcast. Let us have it.
That's true, yeah. But the bad part of that is, who was the guest on the podcast when I made that joke? That was
Oh yeah, Austin Peters, who is he's a good enough director where The Weeknd he's probably on The Weeknd's radar.
Yeah.
And The Weeknd's like, oh, let's see what this guy Austin Peters is up to. Googles his name, finds our podcast, listens 90 minutes into it, and then is like, what the fuck?
Never again. Yeah, coming around the 90-minute mark.
Never again.
But this is, it's just one of those weeks where there's a lot of female director action going on. And it is interesting that because this list is very film-centric. Mm-hmm. And it actually, I think it airs on, definitely airs on the side of film because, who is it? Who else is on this list? Like, Elizabeth Banks is on this list. There was some famous actress on this list.
It's all what's her name from Contact?
Oh, Jodie Foster, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Some of them are actresses that dabble in
Hinge. But Jodie Foster is directed, though, and so has Elizabeth Banks.
That's not somebody who, as a publication, you're like, oh, this is somebody Hollywood should be paying attention to. Like, I'm like going out on a limb being like, oh, like they did like Gia Coppola and Sofia Coppola, like one after another. And like that is that. That's like you being like, yo, Hollywood, pay attention to these names. But like Jodie fucking Foster, like, give me a fucking
break. Ever heard of her?
Jodie Foster Hollywood. How dare you?
Yeah, I see your point.
And Angelina Jolie is on this list, which I actually didn't know that she had directed anything. So there you go.
Get a light vulture.
But the interesting thing is the sort of distinct lack of female music video directors on this list. You know, the ones that are mentioned, like Sana Hamri and Gia Coppola, also have done extensive film work. And Sixes Monday is how you pronounce her name.
I don't know.
It's one of those names that I've read a million times, but if I actually have to say it out in public.
Yeah, like when I read it, I go, and then when I say it, I go, because I don't know how to do it. And both of those noises mean different things.
That's a beautiful rendition of that, of your emotions. But none of them, nothing really is mentioned about music video work. But this week is a really incredible example of how female directors are making a lot of amazing music videos. And I've always thought, and I don't know if it's confirmation bias in that I just, know more about music video directors than I do film directors. But I see female names quite a lot when looking at, music videos that are coming out. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that, when compared to, feature films, for instance.
Well, Hannah Lux Davis, who directed the Ariana Grande video, most popular video of the week, nearly 30 million views in a week, is one of the most prolific music video directors in the industry right now. One of the only music video directors who gets name checked no matter how many times they direct a music video and no matter who it's for. It's a little different in music videos, but music videos are still kind of a boys club at the director level, at the EP level and at even the producer level, you're finding a lot of females making a major impact. But as a director and at the DP level, I still think that the women who are doing some really fantastic work in those departments still have a bit of an uphill battle. And they're still kind of fighting for the actual recognition that they probably deserve. I think Hannah Lux Davis and Colin Tilley are putting out the same level of work in the same kind of area of music videos. And I think Colin Tilley is a much more household name, than Hannah Lux Davis is for whatever reason.
We should also mention at the top of this that we realize we're three dudes talking about female music video directors.
Yeah, but whatever. We got to talk about something, right? We're going to be three dudes no matter what we do.
That's true.
And so what we talk about is where it matters. And I think
three dudes for life.
Three dudes for life, no matter what we do. No, not necessarily no matter what, but I took a look at Adam Alexander's Halloween costume.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's a
we didn't talk about story. That. Not talk about it in that way, but
we're going
to
talk about
there will be a link in the show notes.
Yeah, to that link, to that pic. But like, female directors are making just as big of an impact when given the opportunity as male directors, whether they're getting the recognition for it or not. And, you know, you can't really like box them in, you know, like it's not like this is a week, you know, we've got five female music video directors, but it's not like it's all for just like female run of the mill pop stars. Like, you know, there's EDM artists, there's, you know, male bands, you know, it's not like you can only like, they're not being pigeonholed based on their work, but, you know, for whatever reason, I still feel like they're lacking the recognition, even in this industry, that they deserve.
So, yeah, we should get into it. And let's start with Hannah Lux Davis's video for Focus by Ariana Grande. I was surprised to see a new Ariana Grande single, because it doesn't seem like that long ago that her last album came out and her last kind of cycle of singles came out, but here we go. This is a new one, so it's time to, you know, not every artist has the, you know, 3-year, you know, hiatus between albums that Adele has, for instance.
Yeah.
So Ariana Grande is back at it with a new single called Focus. And Ariana Grande has worked with Hannah Lux Davis many times in the past. There was that video where it was like three people. Well, she directed the Love Me Harder video, first of all.
Also the one that Jessie J, Nicki Minaj.
That's the one, yeah. I can't remember what the name of that one is, but that's the one that premiered.
Bang Bang.
Bang Bang, there we go. I should know that because it's my wife's ringtone, so there you go. I don't know why. I put it on her phone and she doesn't know how to get it off, so. You cut out, Doug.
Sorry, I hit unmute when I thought I hit you. I was going to say, there you go, you got a fucking wife, why don't you rub it in?
Yeah, look at me, I'm flying high.
You see lady shoulders every day of the week.
Every day.
Sometimes Adam Alexander's got a giant stuffed unicorn.
Mm-hmm.
And
Adam, so where did you get that stuffed unicorn, first of all?
I bought that whole costume was put together last minute, and it was all purchased at the Giant Tiger, GT Boutique.
Is that an actual physical store? Is it all?
It is. It is. It's a Canadian chain.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. Giant Tiger.
Giant Tiger.
I'm just saying it again to make sure that I get my cut.
Yeah, they're going to send you one of those crisp $20 Canadian bills.
Yeah. Or a backup unicorn.
Or, yeah, whichever is less money. I feel like, what's that unicorn set you back, Canadian, if you don't mind me asking?
That unicorn was $40.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
So about, like, 35 American-ish.
Sure.
Yeah. Hey, it's a real thing, exchange rate. So
now we're born about it, fucking Adam.
Yeah, so now we've gotten way, way off track. Let's get back to this Focus.
Listen. When Hannah Lux Davis wrote the treatment for Focus by Ariana Grande, she's like, I can't wait till the IMDb guys talk about the exchange rate at this music video. The same conversation.
So the title of the song is Focus, and like the chorus is goes, you know, focus on me. And that's kind of like what this video is. And I think one of the like salient points of this is that
we focus on Ariana Grande.
Well, we do, but Ariana Grande has changed her hair color in this video.
Yeah, and her eyebrow color.
All of the colors are different, which is interesting because she, for a long time, had like one of those signature hairstyles. Like she didn't really do anything with her hair except one thing. And it was sort of her thing. She kind of had it up in a, I don't even know what you call it, some sort of, you know, it was up, it was like done up. And now it's like basically the same thing, but it's like a metallic purple, like a very like dull purple. Mm-hmm. I think it works really well. And this video is basically.
She is blue. It's blue in one scene too, also.
It is, yeah. I think it depends on the lighting. Because there's also a very like high contrast black and white scene. What's that?
I said I think it depends on the dye that they put in her hair, suggesting that it was a different color dye.
I mean, is it a wig or is it dye? I don't really know how those things
work. I don't even know. Well, I know that a lot of people out there are dyeing their hair as different colors, mm-hmm. and this kind of like washed out fluorescents are very popular.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Ariana Grande is tuned right into that.
This is one of those videos where it's basically dance setups. And she's got some ladies with her. There are no dudes whatsoever in this video, but it is...
Like it should be.
Yeah. It's just Ariana Grande and the ladies. It's got a little bit of a futuristic look.
You say Ariana. I say Ariana.
Did I say Ariana? I said okay, I'll go Ariana if you want.
I think this is a video that would... I think the sets in this video would be much more impressive if the Drake video hadn't just come out. Not to say that they feel too similar. I just feel like the set pieces in the Drake video are such an element in that video. I think that this video could have done the same thing, but I think that the Drake video unintentionally takes some wind out of the impressive set piece sales. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I did notice that, you know, there is a section where she's in kind of a purple box,
mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, it's different, but has a similar kind of vibe to it.
I think that would draw more of a Madonna comparison instead of a Drake comparison, had the Drake video not existed, which is more
mm-hmm.
I feel like the nail that Ariana Grande would be trying to hit.
Yeah. That's true, yeah. It's interesting to kind of figure out what she's going for here and how this fits into it. I do think that, you know, that there's one element that she's going to change. It's interesting that it is her hair color. Which makes
and
sense
her because, eyebrow color.
Yeah, okay, and her eyebrow color.
I mean, I feel like that's a commitment right there. Like, it's one thing to be like, I'm going to dye my hair and then I'll dye it back.
I don't think she dyed her eyebrows. I think they just
put that's the same eyebrows.
Guys, don't fucking tell me about eyebrows right now. She dyed her eyebrows in my heart.
I think there's some stuff you can just put in your eyebrows.
Yeah, dye.
All right, well, you know, whether or not that is accurate, I feel like that it's interesting that, you know, she's like, okay, here's the, you know, take the music element out of it because it's you know, different, but it's not like Aria, it's like Ariana Grande's jazz, you know, experiment fusion mm-hmm. band. It's relatively kind of the same thing. So she has to pick something that's going to be a little bit different. And in the whole scheme of things, she's like, okay, well, I'm going to change my hair color. It just shows you, you know, what, how important, that was to her image.
Yeah. Well, and it's her album. It's the album cover, too, right? The Focus single cover on
iTunes. It's the single.
It's her in the purple hair.
Yeah.
And, who didn't see that Instagram girl this week, right? About Image? We're talking about Image. We got to talk about that Instagram girl.
The one who quit Instagram?
Yeah, the one who quit Instagram to make Vimeo videos. Hmm. This all ties into her.
How so?
Because of the internet.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, these videos are definitely both on the internet.
You go.
I also like the fact that Ariana Grande plays trumpet in this video toward the end.
Which is in the running for our podcast album cover for this week, Ariana Grande playing the trumpet.
If I could get some of the girls are playing trumpets and I think and some of them are playing French horns. The one's playing a bassoon, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
They've all got different instruments, which is kind of fun. It's definitely a very fashion oriented concept setup video, but it's really well shot, really well timed. The one thing that I have complained many times about Ariana Grande videos is I cut way too fast.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a huge missed opportunity is the Problem video, which is an amazing video, but it's just cut twice as fast as it needs to be. And this is a nice kind of pace where you can kind of, you know, not really, the editing is really well done in this.
But I do think though that there are notes that come from Ariana Grande's team that want faster cuts. Because I feel like there are still moments in this video with really fast cuts.
Mm-hmm.
Noticeably fast cuts. And I can't think of the moments that they happen, but I just think of all a lot of jump cutty moments. Where I like the moments in Ariana Grande videos where you're kind of able to breathe with her as a performer. Because I think in pop videos, what fast cuts hide is lack of the ability to perform.
Yeah.
So a director will just set you up in a different way 11 different times and then cut to those 11 different shots a bunch, and then you seem dynamic. But I think like Ariana Grande can be a dynamic performer, and you don't need to do all these like quick cuts with her.
Yeah, that's the issue with the problem video, is that she, you just want to watch her, but they keep being like, nope, she's not, you know, don't.
And I think Hannah's too much. Like I have a feeling Hannah's tuned into that, because like if you look at the stuff that like Hannah is sharing on her like Instagram and stuff about the stuff that she's like gravitating towards, it's like these wider, longer shots that kind of like give Ariana and her style and like her performance like a chance to breathe. Whereas like there, you do still find these moments that are like really quick cut, which you connect with a little bit less.
Yeah.
Definitely. I don't know if just coming back to the trumpet players, I don't know if you guys caught wind of this, but apparently Ariana upset a huge number of professional trumpet players in her inaccuracy to hold the instrument correctly. There's actually a New York Post article about this.
Nice. So, New York Post, yeah, always hit those hard stories.
She made some jazz.
What is the title of the New York Post article?
It's Ariana Grande has annoyed trumpet players everywhere. And that was posted on the 30th. So, yeah, that's a thing to read.
Another thing you need to notice is one of the backup dancers in this video is FKA Twigs. No, I'm kidding. I'm sorry. Bad joke.
Yeah, if you told me that and were super serious about it, I would have watched.
You think where? Video again. You know why? Because she pops up in videos as backup dancers.
She does. That is a symptom of our internet culture. Obviously, that is allowed to happen, it's allowed to happen to the point where people are like, "Yeah, I'll write a story about that." People getting angry at Ariana Grande for holding a trumpet wrong,
or licking a donut.
No, all over the everywhere. Not just like people. Mm-hmm. People everywhere.
Yeah, there's at least 10 other publications that ran this story about the trumpet players being pissed.
I would have really loved a little donut looking scene. I think we're like 3 weeks running where we're looking for Ariana Grande to lick a donut somewhere, but I guess she wants to like leave that behind for some reason, which I don't really understand. Whatever, Ariana. Just do whatever you want.
Well, it was so clearly staged that she got what she needed out of it.
What, the donut licking?
I don't even.
I think it's time to move on. So this is a great video. I'm excited
Let's talk about something else.
And this single is doing really well as well. So,
right. How's it doing in the Fairholme home?
Oh, it's blasting.
What are Debbie and Don's thoughts?
I don't know. I don't know if they're. I don't know if Focus has bubbled up enough for that generation of the Fairholmes to really get into it. But we'll see. I mean, I do know that Carly Rae Jepsen's on the radar. Good Canadian girl. So we could talk about her video, a Gia Coppola's video, for Your Type next. If
you... I'm into it.
Okay.
I think we should.
And do you guys... So this album, Emotion... I don't really know how to pronounce it, but it's like...
I think it's Emotion.
Emotion, yeah. But it's got dots between the...
Yeah, dots. Yeah, because it's Emotion. Yeah. But
Have you guys been listening to this album? That's a great album.
I've listened to it a lot.
Yeah.
Actually.
How many stars do each of you guys rate it?
Well, out of what?
It's up to you.
I'd give it a 4 out of 5. I like it a lot. I think it's a great, great album.
And Adam Alexander, what do you give it?
I would have to agree with Adam on that. About a four out of five, maybe even a 4.5 out of 5. I'm
what
really
about 8 out of 10? Would you give it an 8 out of 10?
I would go 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I go 8.5 out of 10. I think. But the music video output of this album so far has been lackluster.
Terrible, Adam Alexander says.
Not even lackluster.
Adam Alexander usually is like a devil's advocate, and by devil it is people who make shitty music videos advocate. And Adam Alexander says your music videos are terrible. That means you need to look inside yourself, and it's like, what's wrong with you?
And I've tweeted about this because I felt like, based on how much I love this Carly Rae Jepsen album, that the video output, it was just not up to par. There could have
garbage
been
garbage, so trash can, garbage music.
Pretty garbage trash can. Yep.
Oh. Glade unscented. What do you think of this?
Oh,
this
I'm into.
Just a real quick. We need to recap what's happened with this album so far.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Because I Really Like You, which is the first single off the album, came out back in March, which seems like a ridiculously long time ago, you know, considering.
Because it is.
Yeah, well, the album didn't come out that long ago. So this is significantly before the release of the album. And this is the one, if you'll remember, with Tom Hanks and Justin Bieber at the end.
Who could forget?
Yeah. Well, I think people definitely could forget, because even though it's got 114 million views, I think it is a bungled video. I mean, I watched this video again today just to kind of see if my opinion of it would change. Mm. And Adam, I know you back me up on this. It is like a basically like incomprehensible video, and not in a way that, you know, just like I don't like what it is. It's objectively bad from the execution, from like, you know, the content of it to the execution of it, from even like the camera angles and the way things are lit.
When you try to make the argument that like music videos are back and like music videos impact the popularity of songs and like music videos are important, the easiest way to argue against that is to say, well, what about this video? Well, and that's this Carly Rae Jepsen video. It is literally like the shining example of terrible music video and still being successful despite that, because the song is so popular.
And there's this one moment in the video, and then I'll shut up about this video, that I didn't notice before, but it just baffles me so much. You know how Tom Hanks is walking along the street, and you know people are like, you know, asking for autographs and selfies and stuff like that, and he's super happy and he's like doing everything for everybody. And he gets to the set, and people get, you know, the guy gives him the clipboard, he checks the clipboard, and then, you know, we're seeing Tom Hanks from behind, and everything slows down, and this car goes by, and the camera turns to look at the car, and it slows down a lot, you know, as if to say, hey guys, check out what's in this car. It's important because we're slowing the whole video down to show you what it is. And I swear to God, you cannot see what is in this car. I've tried to slow this down and like look at it. It is just a blur. If there's something important in that car, I have absolutely
You'll never
no
know.
Idea what it is.
Well, and listen, it's just, isn't this the music video that you made the argument that like it's trying to tell you that taxi cabs are cool or something?
Yeah, well, except yeah, I don't know if that argument holds. Although the fact it does have Tinder product placement, but the cab that he gets in is like a New York like 1970s cab. I don't even know if it's a cab, but that's I don't know. I think that falls apart a little bit on a second watch, but it is incomprehensible. And there was another video for the second single, which was
Runaway With Me,
which was all right. But then we have Your Type, which I think is a great song. I think there are other better songs than Your Type on this album, but Your Type will do.
Mm-hmm.
And Gia Coppola, of course, is Francis Ford Coppola's granddaughter.
What's her relationship to Sofia Coppola?
I think is it her daughter, I think?
Sofia.
And what's
her
relationship
aunt.
To Nicolas Cage?
Wait, Adam, you said Sofia's her aunt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that. What's your relationship to Nick Cage?
Well, we're going to have to stop the podcast to research that.
Well, isn't Nick Cage just like somebody something?
Yeah.
That's you're thinking of Six Degrees of Separation from Kevin Bacon.
No, Nick Cage is like
Francis Ford Coppola's nephew, I think.
Yeah, right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A word?
Word? Word?
I seriously had no idea.
Yeah,
about that.
So he's Francis Ford Coppola's nephew. So he's Gia Coppola, Sofia Coppola's like maybe third cousin.
Okay, so it's worth looking this up right now.
He is
because
a nephew.
This is,
yeah, he's
this
his
is
nephew.
Interesting. Okay, reading the Wikipedia article, which of course is never wrong.
Never wrong, even though they got rid of the IMDb Wikipedia page.
That's right. Thanks, Wikipedia.
Fuck you.
I don't know.
Really?
Why did they get rid of it? It didn't say anything. I don't know. Maybe they thought we were a bunch of.
Here we go.
This is a fountain of knowledge here.
Oh shit!
This Wikipedia little thing on the side. So, Nicolas Cage is her cousin, but guess who else is her cousin? Jason Schwartzman.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sophia Coppola is.
Who you might know from the YouTube Awards.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes.
Keep that in video, music video centric.
His most famous achievement.
Sophia Coppola is her aunt, and Roman Coppola is her uncle.
Hmm.
Interesting.
And where's Nick Cage fit in?
Cousin.
Big baby.
So
anyway, your type.
Very interesting. Your type. So this is a very narrative-based video, which includes... So a lot of these narrative videos, I guess it's necessary for Carly Rae Jepsen to be the star of this video.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of these types of videos, I feel like, don't usually... Like, may not star the actual artist of the video, especially as when they're as big as Carly Rae Jepsen.
Mm-hmm.
But basically the gist of it is, you know, Carly Rae Jepsen plays a version of herself that's down and out on her luck, but plays in these bars and kind of cuts between her being a successful artist and her being kind of in a bar band with, you know, the usual shots of like bar band. I love when music videos have like the shots of the weirdos in the bar. They're always like bored and kind of there for other reasons than seeing whoever's performing. But it is kind of a little bit of a music video trope, which I enjoy. There's not a lot of like narrative heft to this video. But I think Carly Rae Jepsen does a good job of acting it out. She really sells the video more than anybody else.
Mm.
You guys are probably familiar with what Carly Rae Jepsen looks like. Did you know immediately that this was Carly Rae Jepsen in the video?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because she's
styled very differently though.
She is, because she's sort of like she's the what do they call them, banner woman for bangs. Because she has bangs like covering half of her face most of the time, but she has since she's really become famous. And this she is not. And I think Carly Rae Jepsen, like when you actually see her up close without like bangs and stuff, she looks different than I think most people's conception of what she probably looks like.
Mm-hmm.
She just has a different facial structure. So I think somebody could watch this video and just not realize that was Carly Rae Jepsen.
I was, and maybe you obviously disagree, Adam. I was like really bored by. This video, and I put a lot of that on Carly Rae's shoulders. Like I just like found her like very not dynamic, and I was trying like really hard to like put that on somebody else's shoulders. Like I was trying to like envision if somebody else shot this video, if you gave this video to like a Mike Reagan or an Isaac Bauman to shoot, and you got some like really like raw footage, because I feel like the footage, despite the fact that this like video tries to be kind of like a raw, kind of like no makeup peeled back version of a Carly Rae Jepsen video, especially when you compare it to like the last or to the last type of stuff that you put out, which has got like Tom Hanks in it and pretend Justin Bieber and pretend caps. Like this is like the raw alternative to that. And I tried to think if you like gave it to like a raw DP, if it would be more interesting. But I felt like it still wouldn't be, because to me, like Carly Rae Jepsen just like was not interesting to me to watch in this video. And I feel like that's the best part. I was trying to put the blame on somebody, and I'm like, okay, Gia Coppola, like I don't think I could put the blame on her. And then I look at the DP of the video, I was like, well, you know, it's tough to like put the blame on somebody like that. And then I like looked at Carly Rae Jepsen. I just like was not intrigued by it. It seemed like she had just like a very like one facial expression throughout the whole video.
Yeah, I mean, I could see
I
that.
I think intentionally, though, because that's more of the bar band moments where she's supposed to look more glum. When they cut to the other performance sequences, she's definitely got more energy and sort of playing it up a little bit more.
Yeah, so, but not the tough call. Not the performance stuff so much as the narrative stuff, right? Like, you want some depth in your performance, and I just feel like she just seems so, like, dead-eyed the whole time.
But they don't really develop any of the characters that much, because it's not like the contrast is between her playing in a bar and playing, you know, Madison Square Garden or something like that. The contrast is her playing in a bar where people are, like, not interested and playing in a bar where people are, like, digging it.
Yeah.
So it's not, like, a complete 180 world of difference, really. And she sells it like she's super timid and really uncomfortable in one area and then just really rocking it in the other one. But I don't know if they give... I don't know if there is enough established storyline for... They have these, like, DJ sections at the beginning and end where, you know, it's this radio DJ talking about this girl and, you know, I think that may have been an attempt at some sort of, like, trying to fill in her character, and then at some point she falls asleep on a bench. This is before the song starts. And some guys, like, take her, like, headphones... which I think were Beats headphones. I was trying to figure out if that was actually...
Yeah, no, I think they are.
I think if that was a product placement or yeah, that was just somebody's headphones that were on set.
I think that was just like some weird like way to try to like as hard as they could to like work the Beats product placement into like a some sort of substance.
Yeah, and it's a thing where, you know, okay, well, this character, you know, she has a kind of a boring job. I think she works at, like, the front desk at some hostel. And, like, okay, she fell asleep on a bench and, like, got her headphones stolen. But other than that, we really don't know anything about her. We don't really know anything about the difference between the... It's sort of, this video reminded me a little bit of the, you know, those commercials with like Rob Lowe where it's like,
yeah,
DirecTV Rob Lowe, and
yeah,
Rob Lowe. And those do such a great job of like, even though they're kind of, you know, kind of dumb commercials, doing a great job of like establishing a really clear difference between these two people. And that's the whole point. It's marketing. You want to be the cool Rob Lowe with the product that you want to buy. But this, it was like, you know, okay, well, the other Carly Rae Jepsen that was like rocking the house, that could have been her in a month. You know, it's not like there's not that big of a difference between the two.
Here's my thought on this, and tell me if I'm like a dick. But when it comes to like, all right, so we've already established like that Carly Rae Jepsen can like do a terrible music video. Excuse me, a terrible music video like the one with Tom Hanks and pull off 100+ million views, right? So like when your default is 100 million views, if you're going to do earnest and if you're going to do like narrative, you really got to sell me in a way that like is going to like blow my shit off, or else just put yourself in a purple box. Especially if, like, no matter what, you got to put your Beats headphones in this story, right? Mm. If your Beats headphones, if you're making a video where, like, no matter what, you got to put your Beats in, then just give me a pretty purple box and do and dye your hair purple and do that. Like, don't try to, like, lure me into a narrative when you still got to shove your Beats headphones in your narrative. Like you're just not going to do it for me as Carly Rae Jepsen. So just like give me something visual, like give me some eye candy. Don't make me buy it. Is that like a bad way to look at these videos? Or, you know, like if you're going to do narrative, like give me some, you know, Emily Kaibach, you know, Flor Manu, Roman Gavris, give me something to hold on to. If you're not going to go all the way, like just get a purple box.
Yeah, I definitely agree that the narrative seemed like, I mean, there's no purpose to this narrative. It seemed very unnecessary. I would have just been as happy if they would have just cut the performance bits in and dropped the narrative completely. And I still think it would have been better than the Tom Hanks video.
It's a low bar, Adam.
maybe it's a low bar, but it would not be anywhere near the worst video of the year, which the Tom Hanks one is still in my books. Probably.
Should we do a music video Razzies this year?
We already decided your takes home worst video.
Yeah, but we should do that. People would love that. Think about how many people would love that.
Yeah, people would love that on their heart, like the videos they worked super hard on.
Yeah, so. Right. The video that they made no money on, negative money on. they have kids and families, and we are like, oh, look how stupid they are. Let's put a mustache.
Yeah.
That's what our Razzies would be, by the way. We'd put mustaches on you.
And it is kind of a shame, you know, thinking of the fact I really like. I don't really understand what they're doing with this album promotion. I don't understand why the single came out.
Dropping the ball is what they're doing. Really. Yeah. This is a solid album.
Yo, Snake Tongue Adam Alexander. Adam Alexander is normally the devil's advocate. And Snake Tongue in it.
I just feel like Emotion is her chance to really break out of just like the top 50 girl and like sort of like appeal to everyone, like almost like a Taylor Swift type of a moment. And they're promoting this thing like it's a weird fucking, they don't even know what it is.
Mm-hmm. Listen to this guy. He speaks the truth.
Your Type is a great catchy song. And like the video just looks, I don't know. There are a lot of just incongruities here. I don't know why the single came out so early. I don't know why the videos have been like.
What is the style they're going for in this video?
The narrative is raw.
The narrative is like dirty bar, gross clothes, no makeup.
And so is the style of how it started. It's interesting that, so the DP was the director on their last video, which is an interesting fact.
Yeah.
So when I heard that Gia Coppola was directing, I right away thought of the Blood Orange video, You're Not Good Enough, for like a style reference, and that was what I was hoping for. And this is not totally unlike that in that sense, the way it's shot and some of the styling and the lighting and the mood, but yeah, I mean, I don't know.
This is shot like a pop video. This is shot by, you know, I really like you, but it's
foggy.
It's meant to be raw. Mm-hmm. Like it's, you know, but like it's not. It's not shot like, you know, like a video that is like that. So I don't understand what the where they stop trying to be that.
So yeah, so I think we've settled on that video. should we go on? I think we should go on to the "I Wish My" in parentheses Taylor Swift by The Knox.
I'm into it.
Because this is a video that we have seen this artist and director combination before. This was directed by Ali Avital, who has been on this podcast and was on the podcast when she released her video for Classic by The Knox featuring Powers, which is still one of my favorite videos. I love that video. And this one, I guess, is kind of like maybe the spiritual follow-up to that in a way, because it has some of the same actresses, and it has, I feel like, a little bit of, I don't know, it feels like a little bit of a sequel to me, and not in like content or anything like that, but just like some of the elements, like the fact that the Knox just kind of like show up, like just like out of nowhere.
The Knox have like kind of a history for that.
Yeah, like it's like apropos of nothing, they just like show up in like two shots and they're out of it. And they always look like they do not want to be there, even though you can tell it's an act.
Right. But it's so funny that's what they do.
Yeah. And this one is featuring, instead of Powers, it is Matthew Coma, who is somebody that I do not know that much about. He is always a featured artist, except for one video in our database, which is directed by Cameron Duddy. But he is a featured artist on 7 videos, so it seems to be his bag, as far as I know. And the conceit of the song is that, you know, he's singing about the fact that he's looking for, he's kind of like looking for his girl, you know? He's looking for evaluating the ladies. Mm-hmm. And he's looking for his Taylor Swift, which is interesting. That's why it's parentheses my Taylor Swift. It's interesting that that is now the ideal of what we're looking for. And he's kind of hanging out in his apartment, and there are all these ladies in his apartment dancing, and they're all blonde, and like Taylor Swift is, and they're all wearing a blue nightie. And it's a very interesting video. I could definitely tell this is directed by Allie, because it definitely has her kind of like style stamp on it, in a very good way. And it also, you know, like a few of her other videos have included some of the same actresses that she's used in the past.
Mm-hmm.
There's the girl, you know, from the classic video that is in the pool, which kind of has the kind of like twitchy thing going on. It's funny because she's the one girl that, like, out of all of them kind of like looks the most like Taylor Swift. I feel like
I think they nail it on everybody. Like, I feel like looking at everybody, like all of the fake Taylor Swifts in this video, if you like look at the way they want you to look at it for this video, like they nail Taylor Swift enough in the mannerisms or something. Like, they get it right for all of them.
Yeah.
Because it's a tough thing to do, right? You're not going to like, you're not going to, like, if you look back at like videos that tried to do this before, like, the real Slim Shady video by Eminem. It just feels like something about that video feels more robotic than this video. I don't know what it is, but I think they nail it a lot better.
Yeah, but I think there's that one girl who looks, because Taylor Swift, like, if you've ever like seen pictures of Taylor Swift without makeup, she has like a very distinctive kind of eye shape and orientation, which kind of like when she puts on makeup, give her that distinctive look. I mean, nobody really looks like Taylor Swift, but there's one of these girls that looks very similar to her, which I find funny, which just makes all the other girls look like very different. Like, one of them looks like Amanda Seyfried a little bit. The other ones look like other people. I don't know if they were looking for like I don't know if Allie was going for like a real Slim Shady, like, let's make everybody look exactly the same thing, because I don't know if I've ever seen Taylor Swift in a blue nightie before, although they all like kind of look similar. I don't know if they were looking, I don't know if she was trying to make everybody look like clones of Taylor Swift.
I think that's part of like the concept of the song too, right? Like, you're looking for like my Taylor Swift, you're looking for the person that like fits mm-hmm. your ideal of this like person, and like each of these girls kind of like fits that Taylor Swift mold a little bit in different ways than the others, right? And like the one that you're connecting to as the one that looks the most like Taylor Swift, I don't recognize. But I think that's the point, right?
Like, it's
like, I don't know which one you're talking about either, because like, to me, like, these are all blonde white girls. Everyone looks about 75% like Taylor Swift, between like 70 and 80, right? And so like, there's no real way. And like, I think that's kind of the point. Like, you're looking for my like perfect thing, and nobody's going to reach that perfect. Everyone's going to be like within this same realm of that perfect. And I think with the Knox, like, the Knox make like big like, they make the dance tracks that like would be able to be played at a wedding if you wanted to, but I think they have some like tongue-in-cheek elements, just like their presence in music videos ends up having. And I think that's part of what they're like, part of what the casting here is, right? Like, they all have kind of like this tinge of Taylor Swift. And the fact that you connect to one more, I think that reinforces that idea a little bit more even.
The one I'm talking about is the first one that lifts her head above the bed in the beginning of the video. And it's not that I think she looks more. It's because I think she objectively has the same facial structure as Taylor Swift. She is a little older than Taylor Swift, but she still looks like Taylor Swift. But anyway, I think that maybe a little bit besides the point. There's some great dancing in this. I don't know who choreographed it. We have it right here, Carla Garcia. The video, the dancing in this is just fits it perfectly. I thought they did a really fantastic job with that.
Possibly inspired by Taylor's dance moves at the awards shows a little bit, I think.
I think maybe. So, yeah. I would agree with that, yeah. She is a famous award show dancer.
I feel like there are very few directors who are like tuned into pop culture in a way that you could like that could pull off having like dozens of Taylor Swift lookalikes in a music video than Ally. Like I look back at like when Ally was on the podcast with us and she just like made me reconsider how I look at like every Hype Williams music video that I had looked at from that point. And I feel like she's got like this understanding of pop culture. She like looks at it in a way that is very fresh and really tuned in. That I feel like could like give a pet like make this video more effective than maybe in the hands of a different director.
Yeah, we're probably missing 100 different things that.
Yeah,
right.
Even when it seems like a simple video for Ally, I still feel like there's stuff to dissect that I'm missing. Like even with this video, I feel like I'm missing some message or there's something there that I can't pinpoint. But it's good.
Ally, just call us and leave a voicemail. We'll insert that.
Right, yeah, now. We got that voice message.
Yeah, and I like the Matthew Coma hand gestures. Get some real sweet hand gestures in this,
real sweet.
Which I appreciate.
Where do hand gestures fit in like the camera mugging department? How closely are they related?
I feel like they are like different professions that are separate but complement each other, such as a chef and a waiter. Two different things where they require two different skill sets, but still, you know, they both rely on each other to make the full picture.
Got it. Perfect example.
So we got to go into this Love Me by the 1975 video, directed by Diane Martel.
I think we should.
You picked it. Nice.
Definitely a pick. Picked by Doug.
Nice.
And Diane Martel, for those not familiar, is a director who has had a really interesting last 2 years. I mean, she's been directing videos for 20 years now. But I feel like her output in the last like 3 years has been super interesting and also very, very high impact. I mean, she directed the Blurred Lines video from 2013.
Which is the inspiration of our podcast cover.
Thank you, Diane. The We Can't Stop video by Miley Cyrus. As well as Bassin by Yele, which is another great video that was directed this year. And then we have this video, which is Love Me by the 1975. And this video, to me, really is kind of an homage to 80s videos. I mean, if you put like a VHS grain on this and told me that this came out in like 1988, I probably would believe you.
Yeah.
If it were not for the cardboard cutout of Sam Smith, that may be
right.
And Harry Styles, that would probably be a little bit of a giveaway. But it is shot and conceived in so many little details, from the lighting to the composition to everything. Really is an homage to that.
It's a performance.
A fantastic video. Yeah, to the performance, exactly.
The performance of, Matthew Haley, the lead singer of 1975. I mean, they're really the whole band. Mm-hmm. But the lead singer, like, I mean, he's so, like, the 1975 is so good in their music videos. They nail the performance for the style of each time. They, like, use great directors. Like, I love their music video output. And this is no different, like, Diane Martel is the perfect fucking director for this video. She nails his style. Like, this video feels like if you like were like, all right, here's the first 10 music videos played on MTV when it first aired, and you just like snuck this in at 7, half the people in the world would be like, yep, this was it. Here was the 7th video. They wouldn't even give a shit. They'd be like, is that Sam Smith? Nah. Probably not. Because they said this was it. And this clearly is. Like, Mr. B, and there he is. Like, it's just like, they nailed. Yeah, there's a selfie stick in this video, but like it's just the perfect thing. Like they nail the style, but like just enough like 2015, 2016 in there. Diane Martel, I think, is like too tuned into pop culture for her own good, and I think sometimes she oversaturates pop culture. But I think, yeah, this video, she just like nails the moment perfectly.
And this is one of those instances where I feel like the director and the artist matched their level of intensity.
Yeah.
And how game they were for this. Because that is definitely a thing. And like the intensity and the energy that a director brings to your project and that the band brings to a project. And it feels something that maybe feels like something that may be like inconsequential to the final product, but I feel like is overlooked as something that really influences what the outcome is. And I think like one of the manifestations is that it's obviously the lead singer and his energy, but the just like nonstop energy these backup dancers in tutus bring. They're just like they're camera mugging to the nth degree for every second they're on the screen.
This video was we used best of 15, like 15 best videos of the month every month. And this video, I staff picked this today. So we missed this for the best of the month, but I think it deserved to be on there for sure.
Mm-hmm.
In October.
Did you guys notice the one cardboard cutout that they had to blur out?
No, who is it?
Well, I don't know who that's the ironic thing. I don't know who it is because they blurred it out. But
I wonder if they had to, if they just like were like, let's do this.
It's not really. It's kind of in the background. It is not really something that is that noticeable. I just noticed it just kind of out of the corner of my eye while I was watching.
Who's the cheerleader? Is that a young Miley?
I don't know who that is, yeah.
Charlie XCX is one of them. She looks like a cheerleader.
Yeah, but who's the cheerleader at like 36? He's got his arm around her. It looks like Miley.
It's the one who's like a young girl?
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
It looks like Miley. I don't know, though. Like, I don't.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
That does look like Miley Cyrus now that you mention it. Huh.
Which would be super funny.
Would have access to childhood pictures of Miley
Cyrus. Yeah, I think that is Miley. You're right.
It looks like Miley Cyrus.
That's hilarious.
I love the girl who's dancing with the guitar, the pink guitar. They just, I don't know. There's just something about
it. What a good video.
Yeah, it's a great video. It's from beginning to end. And it's one of those like setup videos that just keeps like piling more and more stuff on.
Yeah.
And just keeps getting more and more interesting. For a video that's not, of insubstantial length, it's close to 4 minutes. So.
Yeah, and it's pure performance.
It is, yeah. It's absolutely pure from everybody. Nobody is just like kind of phonered it in here.
Yeah, or no, and it's nobody's, there's no, they're doing characters and stuff, but there's no narrative. It's just like, nobody is unaware of the camera in any shot.
Yeah, absolutely.
So good. So good. It's like a music video.
Yeah. It's like one of those music videos.
It's one of those music videos.
It's in a hot tub in a music video, too. So
Not recently enough.
Not recently, yeah. Directors, if you're listening to this, maybe, I don't know if we have a lot of directors.
For hot tubs.
Yeah. Give us some more hot tubs. And that's all the feedback I have right now.
That's it. That's all we got for you guys.
Yeah.
Otherwise, knocking it out of the park.
Yeah.
But like a couple more hot tubs in the mix.
Yeah, and I know those are probably hard to rent, but whatever. Deal with it.
Fucking do it. Just say.
Get it over with. Well, you guys, I think we did it. We're at the hour mark.
Yeah,
so
we did it. We did a great job.
So maybe in the next little while there'll be 100. I feel like they could put together a list of 100 music video, like female music video directors that people should be hiring.
Yeah.
And it would
start. But until then, listen to this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. We know what's going on. We know the peeps. So if you want to find out, what we're talking about in terms of what these videos are, Don't go Googling around on the internet. Just go to...
Yeah, take it easy.
Yeah, just cool your jets, because everybody knows it costs 10 cents for every Google. They're going to send you a bill to your family when you die. Yeah. And
directly to your mom or daughter.
With all your Google searches in it. So...
take it easy.
Be careful, yeah. Just go to imbdb.com. You don't even have to Google it. Just go to imbdb.com. Type it into your computer browser. And go to podcasts. And this is podcast 173. And we have all the links and all the videos and all that right there for you to
pick. There it is. It tested, Snowden approved.
Yep. Yeah. People don't know that a lot. A lot of people don't know that about this podcast. That it's the only podcast personally approved by Edward Snowden.
Yeah, right. He gave us the sign off.
Yeah. Thanks.
He's like, yeah,
thanks,
Ed, we're into that. No data collection at all.
Absolutely not. No. Well, minimal data collection.
Only related to music videos, and only when you want it there.
Right. And Adam, I believe this podcast is Adam Alexander approved?
It's definitely Adam Alexander approved.
Well, there you go.
All 10 of my fingers.
Nice. Adam, do you give us permission to post that picture of you hugging a unicorn?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm putting post it out there. Sucker.
Is that what they call it now, hugging?
Yes. Spooning. I'm actually spooning the right. unicorn.
And you had a fun Halloween, Adam?
Yeah, it was good.
What'd you get, candy?
No, I handed out candy.
Nice.
Doug, in your travels, or and Adam as well, you guys, we don't get any trick-or-treaters at our house because we live on a busy street and trick-or-treaters are, like, you know, they're just too busy to come over to our house. So we never get any of this. So I never see any costumes. Did you guys see anything that was even music related, let alone music video related?
Nah, just a lot of minions. No music related.
I saw somebody dress up as Hall of Hall and Oates, but no Oates.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Halfway there.
New York, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go.
Okay. Over. All right.